Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects with interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
And this is Romy.
This is Anna.
So over the weekend, I went to see stand-up comic Russell Peters over at the Brea Improv. Mm-hmm. Last time I saw him was like ages ago, maybe like a decade ago, or maybe even more than that. But essentially, I wanted to see if he's still funny. Because I love Russell Peters back in the day. And, mm-hmm. and essentially, this is one of those shows where he's just trying to look for new material for a proper tour and right. a proper recording show kind of thing. Or special right. kind of thing. So all he did was crowd work. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't have an issue with crowd work. But my God, the crowd we had were mm-hmm. not very good.
Oh, really?
It was like he was pulling teeth trying to get them to answer questions. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a little disappointing.
Still weird. Yeah. That's kind of weird because the improv is kind of relatively small and intimate, right? You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
And if they're there for Russell Peters, he's been around for like, what, 20, 30, 25 years now?
He goes there every year.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying like his popularity. So people know what they're getting into, you know what I mean? In a Russell Peters performance. You
correct,
know what I mean?
Correct.
Even you talked about he's doing this for like a world tour or something. Like I've seen his tours, world tours and stuff. Like that. I would say 80% of it's like crowd work. You know what I mean? So I don't know why the crowd would be so receptive to that. It's weird.
No. It's not that. It's just like you know the typical bad interviews.
Yeah.
Like he will ask something like, "Oh, what's your job?" And then they'll answer like, "Medical field."
It's a little enthusiasm. That's what I'm saying. It's a little enthusiasm. Come on, you're Russell Peters thing.
Isn't there like a 2-drink minimum? Like maybe take like a shot or something.
I don't know.
Loosen up.
I think some people who got the VIP tables just probably shouldn't have been a VIP table, and because that's usually the people he talked to. I mean, I wasn't a VIP.
Yeah.
I was in the VIP.
I would not even.
Oh, you wouldn't do it.
I would not do it.
I would never. I do not.
Not just for him. Not just for him, but any comedian. I would not want to sit up front. Yeah.
Never.
I was psyched. I was psyched to answer if he picked me, but never happened. Even other shows where I went to stand up comic and I'm up front, never picks me for some odd reason.
Yeah.
But I had like a Jollibee shirt and he's like married to a Filipina now. I thought maybe that will get it to pick me, but no, he picked the guy in front of me. Why? Because the guy in front of me only has one arm.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God. Albert!
So it's like, well, obviously, he'll choose that guy.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But what I've noticed about the stand-up comics that I've seen recently, and it's not just Russell Peters, two subject matters that always come out, wokeness and cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
Are they just not over it yet? Comedians, that is? Stand-up comics?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
I mean, they're going to shows for audience that know who they are. Like, why are they afraid to, like, tackle these things? Like, they're still kind of unsure with how far they can go. I mean, presumably, the people in the audience would not cancel him because we're there for him, right? Mm-hmm. But they still seem a little gun-shy. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
It's a little disappointing, but. Yeah, because I mean, if you've seen Russell Peters, Anna, have you ever seen Russell Peters?
No.
Okay, so in his specials back in the day, he does a lot of impersonations, right? Because he travels he's an international comedian, so he goes to a lot of world, you know. So what world? A lot of countries. Right?
He goes to a lot of worlds,
you know. And he'll do voices, you know, and he'll do accents, right? You know, so that kind of stuff, and it's all funny stuff. Of course, nowadays it's kind of like not kosher to do accents of like you can't necessarily do a Chinese person, you know, that kind of thing. He still does that, but not as much as before.
Right? Yeah, and his impression. I saw it before the quote unquote woke this wave and so that. His impersonations are not like a very like you know like a what's that Tiffany Breakfast with Tiffany's that's sort of like you know hyper exaggerated cartoonish. Buffoonery, you know what I mean? It's an impersonation in the same way that Eddie Murphy does impersonations. He just sets a vibe, you know what I mean? It's just like the you know what I mean? It's not like punching down, you know what I mean? That's how I explain it.
Yeah, but every time stand-up comics nowadays they do that kind of stuff, they always have to excuse it somehow, like oh I'm going to go to hell, you know? They have to like downplay the fact that they're doing this because it might offend somebody, and I'm honestly kind of tired of it. I'm like just do your bit. We're here for you. We know your bits, so we're okay with it. You know, it's like I don't know. I don't think this is ever going to go away for the time being.
I'm more curious about the fact that he had no prepared material. He didn't have anything nothing. Like pre-planned.
Nothing.
That's weird.
No, because this is, like I said, this is one of those shows where he's just looking for material for a proper tour and a proper special.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, he in all his specials, he would at least have X amount of material prepared. You know what I mean? And then the rest would be like crowd work and stuff like that. I'm surprised he had no written material. That's kind of weird.
I mean, he has some backup stories that he goes to. Like he'll segue, yeah. Like based on what they answer, he'll segue to a bit, right?
Yeah.
But but at a certain point, he literally got his phone and looked at his list. Like, oh, I have some notes here.
Oh, that's good.
So he has something, but that wasn't the whole point of this kind of show. He wanted to try and see if he can come up with a material. Based on what the
my understanding of the stages of a comedian of his caliber, like this, the stages they go through is they'll go through like clubs in LA, like they'll do like 5 minutes with like prepared material, like, you know, stuff they've written down, you know what I mean, 5-10 minutes, and they start building a thing, you know what I mean, they start building like a comedy special that way, you know what I mean, so for like months they'll do that, right?
And No,
I'm saying the second stage is what you're describing. It's like a venue like the Brea, because this is like a good like 30, 40 minutes, and then people are paying X amount, or they're paying more money for it. You know what I mean? So this is where the tour where the material should be a little bit more refined. You know what I mean? Should be more polished and so. And then the next step is like when he goes to play the big stadiums and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm surprised that he didn't have any kind of written material and stuff like that. So that's kind of weird.
No, but that's kind of odd. Like I said, he goes to the Brea Improv every year specifically for this purpose. Because whenever he does like an actual like material special thing, it's in a much bigger venue.
Yeah,
and that's when he does it for that thing. Yeah, so
yeah.
But yeah, he had three opening acts. He had three opening acts, and they had bits. They had material because for obvious reasons.
Of course, yeah.
Right, but he himself was literally just like he got up, you know, and he just did crowd work and went from
there. Yeah, I'm not a comedian and stuff like that. I'm not one to judge, but that doesn't seem very professional. Because you guys pay X amount of dollars to see him, and he should be a little bit more, have at least some sort of, have something prepared. You know what I mean? He can't just do crowd work for X amount of dollars.
I mean, at the very end, he's like, you know, I'm sorry, guys, that I don't have anything planned for the end. But let's see what I got here in my phone. You know, that's kind of when he went there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a really rich guy. You know, he's at a certain point, people in America may not completely know him, but at a certain point, he was in the top 10 highest earning stand-up comics in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So I think he has a little bit of like, I already got it made. I don't need to work as hard I can just do this if I wanted to. You know, it's a lot of FU money, essentially. So, but yeah, like I said, it's just more of a case where all these stand-up comics just keep coming back to the whole like wokeness and cancel culture thing and like just do your thing. We're fine. Just do your thing. All right. This is It's the 772nd. Why is it hard for me to say? It's the 700.
Yes, Albert, this is your podcast. Yes, you're here.
I'm trying to read numbers, Jiang Ming. Hold on.
Yeah.
It's the 770.
Put your reading glasses on, you old man. Come on, man.
It's almost like a tongue twister. It's a 772nd. You see, it's a tongue twister. 772nd. 772nd episode of the show. And as of this recording, it's currently 6:44 p.m., May 20, 2024, in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan, Canada. Damn it. It's all a tongue twister thing. And it's time to take a look and see. What's up?
What's up?
So, a teen in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, went up to a McDonald's drive-thru and ended up getting fined $580.
Mm.
What do you think he did?
He used the N-word.
Oh, I read it. I read the story.
Oh. You read the story? Jave, what do you think he did?
he screamed the N-word. Is that what he did?
No.
No, he threw trash into the drive-thru.
No. One more.
He pulled out his wiener?
No. Anna, the answer?
Crazy. He was on his phone.
He was on his phone.
Right? Correct?
Yes, correct.
Right? Correct. Okay. All right.
Isn't that what we do nowadays? We get on the McDonald's app on your phone and then you do the thing? I mean, how do you not get on your phone when you're on the drive-thru?
Especially McDonald's, because you have to give them a code every yes. time you're going to order online. Like, you know, use the app, and they ask you, are you using your app? And so you got to give them the code and all that. So that's kind of dumb.
It's so what?
The cop was very bored, right? He had a... Can he even do that? Because it's a McDonald's drive-thru?
Okay, so
Canada. It's Canada. So.
I think it's just a cop. But he goes right here. I'm barely even moving. I pull up my app and look at the rearview mirror, and there's a motorcycle cop behind me. And then he goes, he observed that driving a vehicle on a public roadway while using a cell phone is the reason why. It's essentially what it was. That's what the cop told him. And he goes, and the lawyer for the guy said, I would venture to guess that a great majority of people would utilize their cell phones in lineups such as that, and it shouldn't be considered illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the police just park there then? You know what I mean? Well, it's like
for a speed trap.
If that's the case,
easy peasy, right there. Yeah. Did sounds they like, respond?
Yeah.
Like sounds, how sounds ridiculous?
Like, no response.
Sounds like some cop is trying to make a quota and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous.
Exactly. I know. I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. If they push, it sounds like he got a lawyer. It sounds like they're pushing back. I think that a judge, any judge with common sense, would just throw this out as a frivolous thing. You know what I mean?
They should.
If anything, at the very most, a cop should do is maybe just give him. You could give him a warning, you know, and that's it. But to pull him over, or whatever, give him a ticket. That's ridiculous. That's well, it's good to know that Canadian cops are assholes too. You know what I mean?
I know, right? That's reassuring.
That's yeah. That makes you feel good. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just not us, guys. It's just not us.
Yeah. These cops are in general more concerned about traffic violation than they are actually stopping crime. You know? It's like,
yeah.
Come on.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
This is ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Canada, they're just like us.
I know, seriously. Well, if it happened in the U.S., the cop would probably just shot him and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
That's pew, 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 yes, pew. Yes. Sadly, but true.
Hey, the cell phone looks like a gun, man. I don't know. I just shot first. So.
Oh my god, that reminds me of something that I saw at a music festival. I'll tell it later.
Yeah.
Oh, and why not tell right now?
Oh.
Oh, are you saving it for next episode?
No. Like with the PPPU, because there was this clearly young. I don't know how young, but he must have been in his early 20s, maybe a little bit over 18. And I don't think he was from. I'm going to say he was from TJ or something, but he kept using his phone as a fake gun at girls to be like, hey, you're cute. I want to talk to you. Okay. And I'm like, bro, this is not the place to do that because you're gonna get tackled by security at any moment. But he was doing the pew, 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 pew. So, yeah, that just reminded me of that. Someone needed to educate him, but it wasn't going to be me.
Wait, how do you pull out a phone trying to pick up on people?
So, like, you know how you do a finger gun, right?
Using
so
the phone as the finger gun?
Yeah, basically. Just imagine that.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you look from far away at an angle through the crowd, it's going to look like you're pulling a gun out, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
So, okay. Got very lucky. Just saying.
Right.
Pew, 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 pew.
And for the next story, I'm going to go pass it over to Anna here because she's the one that suggested this one. Postal worker caught racing. Oh, you know, the postal worker caught in a USPS van hitting 105 miles per hour in a 60 miles per hour zone.
All right.
And I go.
Definitely I support this. I support this. By the way, I can get my packages. You know what I mean?
He had the need for speed. That's it. I only read the title and I sent it over.
This was over at Sandusky County. Area, it's Sandusky County, in Route 20 west of Fremont. The van was USPS mail van was speeding over 100 miles per hour and 60 miles per hour. So, and the reason for that is it was racing a Mustang.
Nice.
Well, you know, they gotta entertain themselves somehow. Yeah. So, yeah.
Still, I didn't know those things could go that fast.
I also was gonna say that I thought they were like pretty capped out at the speed, but maybe he turboed this one, mm-hmm. you know?
How was he caught?
How was the what?
How was he caught?
Oh, the deputy says here, the Mustang took off. He caught my attention and then you blew by him and I was pacing you with like 105.
Oh, finally, the cops like he did something right. So a cop pulled him over, I guess.
They yes. Right. Yeah. But okay. Once again, traffic violation situation.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Noticing a pattern here.
Yeah, it happened in April, but yeah, court records identified the driver as 28 years old, and the court waived the case, which is now closed, and paid $50 as the first installment of a $240 fine for the traffic violation.
Wait, that's all?
Did he still have a job?
$250? That was all the fine was for going 100 or something?
Yeah, apparently not. This isn't in California, so.
Now I've gone the other way. They should throw the book at him. That's way too fast for residential area. That's insane.
60 miles per hour? I think this can't be residential. 60 miles per hour zone.
Oh, wait. What's the speed limit?
The speed limit is 60.
Oh, never mind. Oh, okay.
That's this is a highway. This is a highway. This is a highway.
Oh, that's fine. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Let him go. I don't know those vans could go that fast, by the way.
Me neither.
I thought they top out at 60, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're big, heavy, bulky.
I know.
You know?
That's weird.
So, as far as the employment is concerned, he says the employee is under investigation as a matter of policy. We are unable to comment further on a specific individual personal matter, according to the spokesperson of USPS.
Yeah, we really wanted to fire the guy, but it was really cool that he got the van to go that fast. You know what I mean? It is kind of cool, man. You know what? I'm on his side now. I'm back again. I'm on his side.
Yes. Well, in other news, not involving any traffic violation. Last week, there was a whole deal about Disney Plus and Hulu and Max coming together into some kind of bundle deal.
Yeah.
No price set up so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then now there's also a Netflix, Peacock, and Apple TV Plus bundle deal for Comcast customers.
Now, the Apple one is a surprising one.
Why is that surprising? I'm not surprised at it at all.
Because that's the one I figured they hold out like, hey, this is mine. I'm Apple. You know what I mean? This is all me and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I thought they loved losing money. I thought that was their whole thing. You know what I mean? I didn't know their thing was getting viewership. You know what I mean? I didn't know that was a priority for them.
Yeah, Apple TV Plus is still like out of the main streamers is the least watched streaming service for some reason, except for all the cool kids in Twitter and the internet.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I started watching Sugar. It's really cool. It's a really good show.
And I heard there's a whole twist thing. Anyways, point is that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not surprised Apple TV is part of it, right? Comcast is having a bundle deal. Mm-hmm. People are saying like, oh, so are we just now just going back to regular cable? Isn't it the same exact thing?
Oh, but also, according to people that I follow on Twitter, I don't know how to phrase it, but this might be a workaround to the negotiations that they just signed with the writers and actors and stuff. I don't know if that's been verified, but I think it's something I've seen on Twitter. You know what I mean? Because these kind of bundles with these kind of residuals or money generated would not be part of any kind of thing that they signed recently. You know what I mean? So that might be what's going on. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a nice conspiracy theory, but yeah, okay.
I haven't seen like an official article from Vanity Fair or Hollywood Reporter, but also something to keep in mind, something I'm looking out for and stuff like that.
Okay, so before I go on, thoughts, Anna, about this?
I have no thoughts.
All right. My thoughts on this is that, there's a certain thing about it becoming essentially like cable. And I remember like 9 years ago when we first started this podcast, one of the things I did recommend was that treat the streaming services like a cable channel. Because that's essentially what it is, right? It goes along with your TV subscription. That's treat it like that. HBO was like a $15 extra to your cable channel. Treat the streaming service like an extra payment for the cable channel. You know, it's just treat it like that. And now we're back here again. Now the main difference between streaming services and cable is cable, for the most part, unless this has changed because I haven't had cable in a long time, you're stuck in a deal. Like you have a 1 year, 2 year contract and you can't break out of it. Now, for streaming services, when you pay monthly by monthly, you can pay 1 month,
cancel
for the next 11 months, and then come back the next year.
Click.
So the question here is
unsubscribe.
My question is, for this bundle deals, are they going to lock you into a contract, or do you still have the option to drop out if you wanted to? That I do not know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of preliminary, right? There's nothing. They haven't announced anything. They officially announced anything, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's waiting for the price. Like, give me the price. Yeah. Like, well, how much is it going to be? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then the whole contract thing. The if it's locked in or can you just drop out if you feel like it? Nothing was mentioned. They just said that, we're bundling up. you know, and all, yeah. So a lot of people are going like, oh, it's gonna be just as like the cable TV service mm-hmm. of back in the day, and it's gonna be expensive, blah 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 blah. Like, everything is all combined together is super expensive. Why did it come down to this?
Yeah.
My answer to that is stopping the FOMO. Just because you want to watch all the shows, that's your problem. That's not their problem. They're a capitalistic companies, mm-hmm. right? You had a choice to subscribe to all of them because you want to watch all the shows, or you could just watch the shows that you have one subscription for. That's up to you, dude. Like, come on.
You're not entitled to programming and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, before when I used to have cable TV, I never subscribed to HBO. I just never did. Right? And then all these shows like from The Sopranos and Six Feet Under, also. I never saw them. It was a choice. I just like, I'm not going to pay $15 just to watch all these shows that these people are talking about. I don't care. You know? Even when I dropped my cable TV and went cord cutting for streaming and whatnot, all I had access to was was Hulu. And Hulu didn't have AMC. So when Breaking Bad was around, I didn't watch it either because I didn't have it. And that was a choice. I'm like, fine. There you go. Just live with your decisions, people. Come on. Come on. The real question here is Paramount Plus in the corner over here going, hey, guys, how come you're not asking us to be bundled?
Yeah.
Are they being bought or are they merging? What's going on with Paramount? What's going on there?
I have no idea. I think they're secretly actually doing really well and we just don't know about it.
Are you sure?
I heard the subscriptions are up, but it might be due to the fact they merged with Showtime, though. I don't know if they're making money. I don't know what's going on.
Like, supposedly, one of the most watched companies is Disney with the Disney Plus and Hulu and all the and ESPN, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, if you combine ESPN, Hulu, and Disney together, it's pretty big.
And apparently, the second most watched is whoever owns Paramount Plus / CBS.
Mm.
So maybe they really are more well off than we thought. Shrug.
Are they though? Are they? Are they the ones with Yellowstone? Or are they not with?
They're the ones with Yellowstone. Yellowstone is part of their thing too.
I thought they had the Yellowstone spinoffs.
They had the spinoffs.
The Peacock has the Yellowstone. So I don't know, man. I don't know anymore. Yeah. I don't know either, man. I have no idea what's going on anymore. All I know is I know they're about to announce all these bundles and stuff, but I'm pretty happy with what I have now. You know what I mean? I'm okay. I'm okay. I don't think I need any more or less. I think I'm just perfectly fine right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is a lot. Actually, I have pretty much everything, actually.
I have just about almost everything. So, yeah. I really should just cut back.
Actually, if nothing else, I should cut back and something. Do I really need Paramount? I mean, I only use it when Star Trek. They got rid of two Star Trek shows.
But they're really good about releasing like the Star Treks back to back to each other.
I think he's got rid of two. I just said this is the last season of STD and last season of what do you call it?
Yeah. After STD, after Star Trek Discovery, because Adam probably still goes, STD? What are they talking about? After Star Trek Discovery, I have Evil coming up. So I can't exactly drop it either. You know, it's like, and then after Evil, there's going to be something else. Blah, blah, blah.
Isn't this the last season of Evil, though, too?
Yeah, it is also last season of Evil.
Last season of Evil, last season of STD, that's last season of Lower Decks, right? And for the Star Trek of it all, they haven't announced replacement shows, right? So I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe after this year, I can actually cancel Paramount Plus. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. Anna, thoughts?
No thoughts.
I think he really wants to go pee now.
And that's what's up. You can find this podcast on Instagram Threads and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well.
Why don't we merge our podcast with somebody else's podcast? Why don't we do that? You know what I mean? Maybe this, does Derek have a podcast? Why don't we merge our podcast? That's all I'm saying.
Merger.
Podcast.
Yeah. Do you have your podcast? You know what I mean? Why don't we merge with yours?
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Where was I? Oh, yeah. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads at Albert5x5. Next.
Oh, you find me on Twitter, on the social media, JIAMINGLOU.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage or on my other show, Most Extreme Ranking Challenge.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. All in show notes and contact info can be found on whowhatworstwhy.com. What is I missing? Oh, and that's it. Actually, I got that.
We did it. We crushed it once again.
Before we wrap things up.
Oh, God damn it.
Five years ago. Right now. Can you guess what I'm thinking of? What happened 5 years ago?
It was all over social media last weekend. I know what you're talking about. Anna, can you guess?
You know what? I would rather not spoil it and let Albert tell us.
So she doesn't know.
Okay. Jamming, would you like to tell her what it
was? It's Game of Thrones. Is he the Game of Thrones?
Oh,
or,
God!
Or
really?
Yeah. Yeah, 5 years after the finale of Game of Thrones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a lot of people have pretty much, like Anna, have pretty much counted out Game of Thrones.
And I don't know how.
Hardly anybody really talks about it, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But you gotta admit, it's still around. Yeah. Maybe not as strong as it was when it was out. Yeah, but it's still around. I mean, just in the previous episode, me and Jamie was talking about it, we mentioned Game of Thrones on that episode. Yeah. I think it is still pop culture. Pop culture. Yeah. I still
feel hold on. Time out. And did you ever go back and watch House of Dragons?
No. I was so bored.
Okay.
So did you finish one episode?
Yeah, I finished the whole season because I had to.
Okay. Because that was going to lead to my next point. So I do believe, House of Dragon has gotten some of that goodwill and all that stuff
but
back.
But there's no point in giving it goodwill when the show shat on the Targaryens at the end. There is no point in giving this any love because we know how Game of Thrones end. Like, what's the point? It's like going out with a guy who you know is going to break up with you 5 years down the road. Why would you date him?
And I would say that
Not about where it goes. It's how it gets there.
How I get there.
No!
The journey is what counts.
No!
So I would say just finishing my point real quick. I do believe House of Dragon has gotten some of that goodwill back from the public and stuff. Not from Anna, specifically, but everybody else. They gotten some of that goodwill back. Is it at its height as Zenith? No, not so much. But it got to a point where the people are looking for the second season. And also, I think they greenlit another spinoff, right?
They did.
Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, something like that.
I think so, yes.
So again, I don't think it's at the House of Dragon. I mean, it's not at the Game of Thrones height at the apex anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's back. And also, I just want to mention real quick. I know people are disappointed with the last season. I am one of those people that did not enjoy most of the last season. But that does not eliminate or does not kind of erase or the previous 6 years Game of Thrones. So yeah, those are my points.
Yeah, and there are creators out there, writers, directors, and whatnot, who inadvertently was affected by what was done in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll find it in their writings, they'll find it in the directing, they'll find like how did Game of Thrones do it. You know, I'm sure as much as Game of Thrones is not completely in the zeitgeist anymore, it's part of pop culture. It is highly influential, and I think that does deserve some credit.
How not to destroy your entire fan base,
I will say this. It is one of the most, to me personally, I'll speak for myself, obviously. So, but I think it's still one of the most influential TV shows ever in this particular sense.
Stop giving so much praise.
No. When you make prestige television like this, whether it's for Disney Plus, HBO, whatever it is, there's a certain production value, a certain look, a certain gravitas that Game of Thrones has set. I think that will always sort of be there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Turn up your brightness on your TV.
No, I mean, it's shit happen. I mean, like I said, you can 7 years of television, you can shit on aspects of it and stuff, but that's fine and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, overall, there is not a prestige TV show that I watch now that the standard is not set by Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? Anytime they have a new Marvel show, a DC show, whatever, there's a very much I can see value now. I can see money on the screen now. And it's all leads back to Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, and going with your example, Anna, whenever a TV show or a movie is like shooting a scene and it's dark, they're going to go, maybe we shouldn't make it too dark because we know what happened to Game of Thrones. See?
Influential. We did not make it dark enough. No, that show is stupid. So stupid.
Still influential.
Never go
Come on.
And
you can't, you can't deny that it's still a very influential show until today.
Yeah, it's influential as in never, ever, ever attach yourself to a TV show and like dedicate like any type of well-being to it, because
the thing is,
you will be shat on.
The thing is, my argument can work this way as well. It could be like a cautionary tale where a cautionary tale where, hey, you have this big prestige kind of thing. You also have to focus on the ending. You have to have a nice clear endpoint. And the other thing to kind of expand on it, looking back on it, I think I mentioned it at the time, it seems like the showrunners, the two showrunners for Game of Thrones, were kind of done with it. You know what I mean? And they kind of rushed the end. They just want to get out. They were just for whatever reason.
And they lost Star Wars. Ha ha ha.
And the thing is, that could be like a lesson learned too. Like if your showrunner is kind of out of it and stuff like that, but you still have more material, there's still more story to tell, it's okay to maybe let the showrunners go and promote from within and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That these all could be lessons that could be learned and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
Also, don't adapt a book series that's never gonna end.
Yeah, but that's not bad. They couldn't have foreseen that when they started it, like years
ago.
Yes,
they did, because it took 5 years between the fourth book and the fifth book to come out.
But that's not...
That already says so much about the longevity of George R. R. Martin not knowing how to write.
But that's not... That's a whole thing. But, you know, in Japan, they launch animes adapted from manga all the time without, like, a clear endpoint. So, correct. You know, they just go and stuff like that. And they couldn't have foreseen George R. R. Martin not being able to, you know, finish the books and stuff.
It was so obvious. Like George R. R. Martin, is never going to finish it.
I don't think it was obvious at all.
I don't think it's obvious. Yeah.
It was also 5 years between book four, and book five.
I don't know. Sorry, this is a bit of a tangent, but do you want to hear my conspiracy theory about George R. R. Martin and the remaining books? I think they're done. They're actually finished. But then
he's holding out.
No. Yeah, he's holding out. You know what he's holding out for? His death. He'll have those books published when he's dead, and he doesn't need the crap. He doesn't need the blowback. That's my theory. That's my theory.
I can adapt to that.
That's a pretty good conspiracy theory.
They're all done. It's all done. He knows how it ends. Blah, blah, blah. It's all finished. You know, it's all the final. Blah, blah, blah. But hey, don't hit upload, guys. Don't hit upload until I'm dead.
I can't hear the criticism.
Exactly. Until I'm 6 feet under, guys, don't hit the upload button. I don't need this shit. I don't need these fans all my ass. You know what I mean?
I don't believe him. I don't believe him.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's true. So
I think it's true.
To wrap this off, like I mentioned how Game of Thrones is influential. If there's one thing that you would say people will always go back to Game of Thrones for, Jamming, what would it be? Or what would they refer to?
Battle of Bastards.
Okay, Anna. Do you have an answer?
Wait, what was the answer?
If somebody refers to Game of Thrones, like if there's one thing that people refer to Game of Thrones, what would it be?
What was John May's answer?
Battle of the Bastards. I guess another way of putting it is the spectacle of it all. The
what about?
Say incest. Say brother sister lover.
I figured Anna's answer would have been really obvious, but go on.
Yeah.
What's my answer?
Your answer would have been like, don't F up the ending.
Yeah, don't F up the ending.
Oh, yeah, don't F up.
Yeah.
Right?
Prepare to get shot on.
Yeah. Like, my answer would be Red Wedding.
Oh, okay.
Because just those two words alone, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then when people do it in their show, people go, oh, that's their Red Wedding moment.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
We just recently saw a TV show that I said, "Oh, that's like the Red Wedding and stuff like that."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would probably refer back to like the very first season.
The brothers.
When Danny gives birth to the dragons.
I'll see. For me, it would be chop. It would be chop chop.
Yeah. What's chop chop?
Head chopped off. Come on. Chopped
off. Okay.
Again, it should be sister brother lover. But all right, whatever. You guys are prudes.
All right.
We're back to when the seasons were good. Season one. There we go. Actually, I don't know what you're talking about because I don't know what show you're talking about because I don't know her.
All right.
All right. This was episode 772 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who What Worst Why production. Go ahead, Anna, unless you want to wait again.
No, I'm awake, so I'm really fired up.
You're really fired up. Okay, all right.